who we baptized last year, he texted me out of the blue and said he was singing and worship the other week, and God just healed his back. That kid has had, that man has had back. I still call him a kid because he was in my youth group. he's a man now. He could beat me in a fight. that man has had back problems for a long time, been waiting for a breakthrough, and like that, healed. Just while singing worship. God's up to something. You know, I've had another couple of, we could pass a mic around. There's testimonies going on in here, different things that happen. I've had three separate people this week text me and encourage me, which is really concerning. Like three people just out of the blue. And the third one, I said, you're the third one this week. And they literally messaged and said, well, then I'm sorry for either what you're going through or what you're about to. And some just like, let's just build them up a little bit for what's coming. You know, Jesus must know I need the encouragement. But I just want to pass that on because so much of the encouragement that I have received this week is not about me. It's about this church. It's about this atmosphere. It's about this attitude. It's about you who come on Sunday with a heart to give and a heart to serve God. And when we do that, God moves. It's not about me. It's not about me. I could go home. I mean, I won't because I like it, right? But you need a touch from God, not a touch from the pastor. But God is up to something. I believe it. I don't know. I just get out of bed in the morning with crazy expectations. I came to church this morning going, if I don't go home before the worship night, that's okay by me, you know? I think Bex and Tia are relying on me for lunch, so it might not be okay by them. But, you know, like if we just get caught in this presence of what God is doing, I'm good with it. And I begin to think that maybe some of you are good with it as well. Because all those other things we built our life on, all those other things we built our life on. You know, again, if you're a young person in here at the moment, you probably feel like you're growing up into a generation, go, I don't even know what I'm inheriting anymore. Like, just looks kind of messy. All those things we've built our life on have failed. But if we build our life on God, who never fails. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, sort of. It's a segue. I want to preach from the thought this morning. Very simple thought. The three most feared symbols of a generation. Now, it might not be your generation, but I guarantee there's some people in here this morning that these are the three biggest fears of your generation. And I tell you, they're a little bit scary. I know, like, we don't usually do horror in church, but I just want to warn you, these three symbols, they might touch just a few nerves. And we fear them. We see them, and they make our heart jump into our throat. And we go, oh, how? In fact, someone saw them over my shoulder in the notes this morning, and they went, how would we live? And so I warn you, the symbols I'm going to show you this morning may cause a reaction. But I think on the other side of our fear is hope. All right. Just remember, if you're sitting next to a young person this morning, if they start to cry, it's okay. If you start to cry, it's okay. This is a safe place to be afraid. Let me show you that first symbol and try not to gasp. Try not to. Let me show you the first one.
There it is.
What have I done?
You broke it.
I broke it. Okay. Let me talk it up a little bit more. It's going to terrify you. No. I swear this never happens. Well, do you need my pen drive? It's terrifying. There is nothing more terrifying than no Wi-Fi. You think about it. Taylor gets it. Taylor's having a panic attack right now. This symbol, you see it in the top corner of your phone or in your laptop, or, you know, it might be various shapes or various colors or whatever, but you see that, you know what it means. You know what it means. And it terrifies us. Let me tell you a story. When I was a younger adult, that's hard for some of you to imagine. When I was a younger adult, I was watching a car on Trade Me that I wanted to purchase. It was this car. It was a Subaru WRX, turbocharged. Be quiet. This was the 2000s, man. We had taste. Turbocharged, full interior, they weren't recaro. Whatever, they had the bucket seats, sound system in the back, too big, you know, like just everything going on. It was the works, the interior. It was immaculate. It had all the bells and whistles. It was fast. And it was a $1 reserve auction. And I went, I'm going to watch that and get me a bargain. I've owned two WRXs in my lifetime. I know, shush. So I was watching this auction, right? And I don't know if any of you have ever done any bidding on Trade Me. I know we just do Facebook Marketplace now. But on Trade Me, like, you set a time, and then, like, I had a notification when there was an hour to go, let me know. Right, when there's an hour to go, let me know, because I want to watch that thing. Because it's in the last hour that all the action happens. In fact, it's in the last 5 minutes that all the action happens. People just watch because they want a bargain. And then 5 minutes to go, people start bidding. And then someone else bids, and then you bid. And so I was in there, I was going, I'm going to get this car. Man, it's cheap, it's a good deal, it's great. It was getting up, it was no longer a dollar. I think we're up to a couple of thousand by this stage. But it was still a bargain. And here's what happens with Trade Me. If you bid in the last 60 seconds, it adds another 60 seconds on to let other people bid, because that's how they get you, right? And so that last minute can go on for like half an hour. And that minute, and so I was refreshing and I was bidding and I was refreshing. You had to keep refreshing the page. And my flatmate, he was a bit of a nerd. I know, shock, horror. We got on really well, but he was playing these really loud computer games. And sometimes, like, I was on my iPad, you've just got to get a little distance. You're in the zone. You got to focus. I was like refreshing. I'm like, ah, I'm going to miss it. It's going to be your fault. So I went outside. I was refreshing, bidding, refreshing, bidding. This person just kept outbidding me by a dollar each time. And I was pacing backwards and forwards. And then it froze. I was like, what's going on? Refresh, 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 refresh. You know, trying to, but it wouldn't move. And then it comes up, no connection. And I realized I'd paced so far to the back garden that I'd left the range of my Wi-Fi. And so, like, I grab my iPad and I run, right? Like, it's a mad run back, going, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know how the internet never connects fast when you want it to? You go, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I finally get that, you know, we scroll, and it pops up, and it says, auction closed, you lose. It didn't say you lose, but it may well have said you lose, you know? I lost my connection, and I lost my auction. My heart, it's just... See, we all have stories of when we've lost our internet connection. But see, I think this feared symbol speaks to something else that we're afraid of in our lives. And that is disconnection. So if you've got your notes in front of you, if you're taking notes this morning, that little first box is for you to draw that symbol. And the first symbol is no Wi-Fi, but it represents disconnection. And I don't know about you, maybe it's not been as, you know, when we talk about winning cars on auctions, it's a bit trivial. But sometimes when we feel disconnected in life, it's everything, right? Maybe you go through day after day after day going, I just feel connected to nothing. I don't feel connection to my family. I don't feel connection to my friends. I don't feel connection to this world that I'm living in. And you just start to feel numb. And so maybe the symbol, the reason we fear it is not just because of what happens when it goes off on our phone, but what happens if we feel it in our heart. But I tell you something, the Bible has something to say about disconnection. Did you know the Bible, in fact, this church is called Connect for a reason. That we believe that this is a place where people come to get reconnected, not with their internet. We've never had that. No one's ever come in and gone, hey, can you help me with my internet? And it's like, no, we can't. It's not something we do. But we can help you with the connection of your soul. See, because when our soul's connected, when our soul is connected, it's amazing how much everything else kind of fits into place, right? And here's two verses to encourage you. One from James chapter 4, verse 8, if you're taking notes. James chapter 4, verse 8, and it says this, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. See, when I ran out of that Wi-Fi range, when I was at the end and I felt like nothing was working, I was literally at the end, right? And you can interpret that another way. But the easy option was I had the option to turn around and go back to the source of my connection. Can I tell you this morning, especially if you're in here as a young person, there is a source of your connection that you will not find anywhere else. You might be looking for connection in all the wrong places. You might be looking for connection in your social circles. You might be looking for connection in the internet. You might be looking for connection in some form of substance or whatever it may be. And that doesn't just go for young people. That goes for all of us, right? We've all got our place where we look for connection. But I'm here to tell you, as the pastor of Connect, there is only one place where you will find your authentic connection, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. draw near to him and he will draw near to you. See, there's another verse in Acts chapter 17. If you're taking notes, it's 17 verse 27. And it says this, God is not far from any one of us. God is not far from any one of us. So at any time in my life when I go, oh, you know what, I'm sick of this disconnection. It's like I turn, I take a step, and God goes, welcome home. Welcome home. And there's a sense of reconnection. Maybe you're feeling disconnected this morning. Maybe you feel like you've lost your connection, and your loss of connection is causing you not only to lose your auction, but your passion for life, your passion for people, your passion for progress, to get out of bed in the morning, whatever it may be. Here's two observations I want to draw about that feared symbol that was up on the screen before. See, for us, it's a feared symbol, but I want to turn it into this morning. Every single symbol we're going to look at is going to go from being a symbol of fear to a symbol of hope. Angel, I wonder if you could put it back up for me. I know that I didn't put it at the end. I know. Let me turn it into a symbol of hope for you. See, if you've got that symbol, do you know what it tells you? That Wi-Fi is nearby. See, it tells you that Wi-Fi is low, but it tells you that there is a connection. There is something there. So in that time when you look at that and it terrifies you, it also gives you hope that connection is possible. And so this morning, instead, where you feel disconnected, here's what I want that feeling to encourage you. The reason you feel disconnected is because you know that connection is possible. You know that it's something you long for. You know that it's something that you've had, that others have, that you can have. And so this symbol becomes not a symbol of fear, but a symbol of hope. And then here's the other thing. When I'm on the Wi-Fi network, I'm going to get real nerdy with some people here in a minute for people who love IT. You know when you sign into a Wi-Fi network for the first time and it says, do you want your device to be discoverable by other people on the network? And you always go, no. Well, in a workplace organization, you click yes, because you share things between computers. Because when you are connected to the source, you're also connected to each other. So what you find is that as you come into that connection that we call Jesus, you'll start to find that your whole life starts to feel connected because there's other people connected to the same source. See, what we experienced here this morning as we're praying for each other is what happens when we're connected to that same source and we become connected to each other. Because the things that concern you concern me now. So when we look at the symbol, we might see a feared symbol, but I see a symbol of hope that I can be reconnected. That a connection has been made for me. That the password has been entered. The price has been paid. I'm linked in, I just need to hook up. And when I do that, not only will I experience connection with God and with the source and with the infinite possibilities. I want you to think about how many infinite possibilities you get access to when your phone connects to the internet. Good and bad. But let's think about the good, right? Not TikTok, Taylor. You waste your life. No, TikTok can be a wonderful tool in the hands of the right person. Just not in my hands because I just scroll. I had to delete Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And probably Twitter next week. So eventually my phone will be like one of those original ones in the 90s that just does phone calls. I know, shock horror. So that's the first one. And our response in this symbol, where we see the symbol and we fear, is simply this, draw near. The invitation of this symbol is draw near. So we don't have to be scared of that one anymore. But there's two more symbols, and I know, they're a bit terrifying. This one, oh my gosh. Not that one, no, we're over this one. Get away. Now, some of you in the room are going, that looks like my pill container. That's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going, I don't fear that. That thing keeps me alive. But if you're under a certain age in this room, you know that that is the loading screen, the buffering symbol. Oh, look, that's like you scroll and then it gets to the point you're like, oh, no, I've got to wait more than 30 seconds for my content. Clark knows what it is. See? He knows what's up. Told you, it's a generational thing. What is it, Clark? What's it called? The Wheel of Doom. The Wheel of Doom. There you go. I've got to wait 30 seconds. Let me tell you a story, young people. When I was 12 years old, I remember trying to download my first ever movie on dial-up internet. And some of you in the room have no idea what I'm talking about. But the internet, you used to have to sign into it. You used to have to turn it on and turn it off again when you were done. And when you turned it on, you had to wait. Well, it did this horrible... And you go, that sounds awful. That is 100% credible what it sounded like. I'm not exaggerating. It was awful. And so the internet, you had to get... And then it was slow. It was slow. I remember we had a computer that had a 1 gigabyte hard drive and we were like rich, right? 1 gigabyte hard drive. I got sticks in my pocket that have more space than that now with, you know. Anywho. And you download a bit. And here was the other thing. You couldn't use the phone at the same time. I know. Some of you are like, we don't even have a phone in our house. What do you mean? Like, it's... I'm showing my age at the same time here, right? And like someone would pick up the phone and you just hear that noise. Oh, God, my goodness, someone's on the internet. And then you disconnect everything and everyone have to start again. I tried to download Lord of the Rings. That's a 3-hour film. 2 months it took me. 2 months. 2 months. YouTube hadn't been invented yet. Netflix wasn't a thing. There was no watching video live online. You had to download that stuff. And so I download it, right? You push download, it comes, and then you had to remember to pause it at the end when you disconnected, because if you didn't pause it and you just disconnected, then it would cancel. You'd have to start again. I remember getting up to 40%, and my dad picking up the phone, and gone, start over. Honestly, you think that symbol is terrifying. That thing spins for like 5 seconds, and then you get an extra like 20 minutes of free live stream content anytime you want it. You don't know how good you got it. Now, you can just get whatever you want. But we fear this symbol because we like things and we like them now. But here's why I think we also fear this symbol, not just in our data. Because when it looks like nothing's happening, we don't like waiting. And when it looks like nothing is happening, like, I don't know if you've ever done this, young person, but I don't know if you've ever been watching a video and that buffer symbol comes up and you go, time to quit. And you just click out of it. Like, that's how, like, our patience now, and I do this too, right? A video comes up and it takes like 5 seconds. I used to be able to do 2 months. Now, if it's like 20 seconds, I'm like, I'm sorry. You just lost your opportunity to show me your video. I'm moving on to the next thing. And then sometimes, especially if you're at high school, like, you're just waiting for life, right? You're just waiting for like something at the end of the tunnel after high school, and please, Jesus, may it not be a train, right? And you get this waiting symbol, and it, like, and unlike on your video where it's like 5 seconds, sometimes it can feel like a year or 5 years. Maybe you look at that wheel of doom, and that wheel of doom, you go, actually, my life feels like a wheel of doom. Like, I'm just looking and waiting. I'm waiting for an answered prayer. I'm waiting for a breakthrough. I'm waiting for a provision. I'm waiting for my marriage to work out. I'm waiting for my school thing to sort itself out, whatever it may be. If you're 13, you're probably not worried about your marriage. probably not. Just saying. You know, so this symbol is about waiting. And when we look at it, we go, I don't know if I want to do that. And one of the things that breaks my heart is when we see this symbol in life, especially, you know, I'm a youth pastor at heart, have been, always will be. Like, when we see this symbol, so many young people see this symbol and wait and go, there's nothing worth waiting for. And they just click the big X. But can I turn this symbol of fear into a symbol of hope for you? Because the very purpose of the symbol tells you that something is loading. Something is coming. When we see this symbol, we can interpret it two ways. One, I've got to wait. Or two, there's something I'm waiting for, right? If you love the series you're watching enough, you'll wait. If you knew what was coming, you'll wait. If you knew what would happen when that wheel of doom stopped spinning and the content that God was preparing for your life that comes when it's time, the Bible says that God has prepared things for you. The Bible says this, look at, here's some verses for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. He is preparing something for you. It's loading in your life. And we don't like loading, but I want you to know that this, the loading symbol means something's coming. If you feel like you're waiting, if you feel like you've been loading for 2 months like I was trying to load a movie, let me tell you something. It's because what's coming is big in size and it's worth the wait. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's what you don't do. If you're halfway through a movie and suddenly that buffering symbol comes up, yes, it's annoying, but you don't go, oh, I guess that's the end of the film. It's a weird way to end. If you're engrossed in the film, if you believe in the film, if you trust the director, then you go, there's more coming and it's gonna be worth it. Can I tell you this morning, especially if you're a young person in here, if you feel like your life is buffering, can I tell you that that means that something is loading, something is coming. And then look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 gives us these three instructions. It says this, be joyful in hope. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope and patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. See, faithful in prayer, that's your connection we were talking about in the first one. But patient in pain. Well, nobody likes being patient in affliction and in pain. But what gets us through is it says we're joyful in hope. See, what keeps you staring at that buffering screen? Hope. Hope that it's going to load. And so our response when we see this buffering symbol in our life, it's not something to be feared, but it's actually something that gives us hope, because our response is we can hope and wait. But we don't wait without hope. Maybe you feel, young person, like you're waiting this morning without hope. You go, I feel like I just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, but I forgot to hope. Let me tell you that one of the most powerful tools you have in your arsenal is hope. Hold on to hope. So we have this no Wi-Fi. We have this buffering, the wheel of doom, you know? And so we have these kind of processes. And we're not scared of those anymore, because now they're not symbols to fear. They're symbols to give us hope. One, that connection is possible. Two, that something is loading. Something is coming. But there's also a third symbol. There's nothing worse. What was that? Your phone never gets below 50. Well done. Like, there's nothing worse. Like, you've got your connection sorted. The buffering thing sorts itself out. And then your phone goes, bow, bow. Sorry, not happening. You ran out of power. You ran out of energy. You're exhausted. This one's low battery. Symbol three is low battery. And I don't know about you, but there's times in our life where we just feel like not just our phone battery, but our battery is low. We feel like every morning we get up. You might feel like you plug in at nighttime and get up in the morning and go, I still feel just as tired as I went to bed. My wife was telling me she's got this really bad habit where she plugs her phone and forgets to flick the switch on. And so it's like I'm connected to the juice, but I forgot to open the gate. Right? And so one of the things that's so important for our connection, so important for that thing that's loading, is that we have the energy or the capacity to carry it. And sometimes we just feel exhausted. Sometimes we just feel drained. Sometimes we just feel like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. But you guessed it, the Bible's got promises for that too. Take a look at this one. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God is interested not just in your connection and what's loading, but also your capacity, your battery life. Come to me, all who are weary, burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Then look at this one. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who charge in the Lord, those who, what? Hope. Remember we talked about the power of hope? Those who hope in the Lord, those who plug into that hope in God, not in your friends, not in your world, not in your economy, not in your environment, all those things, your hope will fail. But those who plug their hope into God, the creator of the universe, the one who has held it all together for thousands, maybe millions and billions of years, is still holding it together and will still hold it together. Those who put their hope, those who plug their hope into God, I wish I could get some help in here this morning, will renew, will recharge, will re-energize their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's faint. That sounds like a full battery to me. Jesus is the source of your connection. Jesus is the one that is loading and preparing, and Jesus is the one who will give you your charge. And when we come to him, our response in this, there's two things you can do when you're running on low. One, I love what Taylor said. She never lets her battery get below 50%. Do we take that same approach to our mental health, to our physical energy? Or do we just run and run and go and go and then go, oh, I neglected myself again? Or do we make time to keep our battery charged by being with people that encourage us, by having a mentor, by reading our Bibles, by praying, by filling our minds and our heads and our hearts with good things instead of doom and gloom things, right? We do all of these things. These are how we plug our hope into Jesus. And as we do it, our battery gets recharged. So the first thing that we have to do is keep recharging. Our response is to recharge. You need to constantly be in an attitude of recharging. Some of you wouldn't let your phone go a day without putting it on charge, but you've let yourself go for 5 years. You love your phone more than you love yourself. Sorry, Taylor. I love you. You started it. You put your phone on charge. Do yourself a favor, put yourself on charge. Plug your hope into God. Every day, find a way to plug into something. A friend, a podcast, a book, something that builds your hope and recharges you. The second one is if you are currently at your low level. See, there's this little thing that comes up when my battery hits 20% and it says, would you like to go into low power mode? And I go, yes, yes, I would. Because then I can make my 20% last longer. It's a bad strategy. But if you are at the end of yourself right now and you feel like my battery is depleted, while you're learning to recharge, you also need to set limits. Set limits. Our response is to recharge and to set limits so that I don't drain what I have and find myself left with nothing. See, here's what I love about this symbol here. See, as a symbol of fear, it tells me that my battery is empty. But as a symbol of hope, it shows me how full my battery can be. Right? So when those three feared symbols become instead invitation and hope symbols, instead of no Wi-Fi, instead of disconnection, now I go, I have an invitation to live a connected life. Instead of waiting and fearing the buffering, the wheel of doom, I have this hope and this opportunity to lean in and believe that God is loading and preparing something for me. And when I see this and I acknowledge I'm on empty, but God has given me a capacity to carry what he is preparing for me. And if I will plug in and I will recharge and I will set limits and boundaries and care for myself like I care for my phone, then God will have his way in me. And hopefully that helps someone up in here this morning. As I wrap up, and I bless you to know this morning that God is never far from any one of us. He is not far from you. He is close. And just like I was at the end of the garden, it took one turn and a step. This morning, all it takes, you feel like you're disconnected, all it takes is one turn and a step to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, I need you in my life. What I'm trying to do isn't working for me. I'm living disconnected, or I'm trying to connect to all the wrong things. But this morning, I know I need to make a turn and a step. Then I promise you, God is not far from you, and he will connect with you this morning. You might want to come stand down here with a friend. Someone will come and pray with you, talk with you. Help you say yes to Jesus for the very first time if that's what you need to do today. Number two, I want to encourage you this, that God who has started and created you, it doesn't matter how you were created. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And so the God who created you is faithful to finish you. And I don't mean like, you know, Mortal Kombat, finish him! I mean like, finish the work that he started. God has something for you, a part to play, a role to play, and he's preparing it for you. Be confident of this, that he who began the work will carry it on until it's finished. And finally, when you plug your hope into him, he promises to renew your strength. So these symbols are no longer symbols of fear, but they're symbols of hope. And I hope that every time you see one pop up on your phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, whatever, it might make you think about Jesus. And I've just ruined your phone scrolling time forever. Because now you can't even pick up your phone without thinking about the one who wants to connect with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our connector, you are our loader, you are our recharger. That you have all these things happening for us. Lord, help us to see these symbols not as symbols of fear in our life anymore, but symbols of hope. Help us to respond. Help us to care for ourselves. Help us to connect to what matters. Help us to build our lives out of materials that last instead of the materials of the world that are so temporary, that give us that temporary high and then leave us feeling more empty than before. Lord, would you help us to connect with you, to wait, but also to hope and to plug into you, knowing that you are building your kingdom in us and in our community. Holy Spirit, come and touch all of our hearts, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.